Hello, this is Robert Rickover, and today my guest is Carolyn Nichols, who is an Alexander Technique teacher of some 30 years experience in Brighton, England. She's also the director of an Alexander Technique teacher training program in Brighton, and she's written two books about the Alexander Technique. And we're going to talk today about pain and the Alexander Technique. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. Very nice to be back with you again.
Well, it's good to talk to you once again. Could you give our listeners a brief description or definition of the Alexander Technique?
Yes, I'll be happy to do that. I think what I'd say today, because my definition seems to change a lot, is the Alexander Technique is a good way to learn how to become more aware of what you're doing with your body and your responses to all the things that you need to do in your day. And it gives you an opportunity to make sure that you make the best possible use of yourself, your body and your mind.
So that becoming aware, more aware of what you're doing with yourself, I assume that has some implications about how you deal with pain.
It certainly does. It has implications for what people commonly think of as posture, but it has a lot to do with how you deal with pain, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I think it might be useful to distinguish between sudden onset pain, accident, or that sort of thing, very severe short-term pain, and chronic pain. Could you say a word or two about that distinction?
Certainly can. I would say that the kind of pain that the Alexander Technique is most helpful for is chronic pain, and that's the pain that's been with you for some time. It may be coming and going, but it isn't, for example, the pain that you might get if you've got a sudden severe illness. You know, if you've got appendicitis or something, well, don't come to us. go somewhere else. But also, sometimes people will have acute back pain that seems to come out of nowhere. And quite honestly, that is always useful to get that checked out medically, because you don't know why you've got that. So we're more able to be useful for people with the chronic pain, the pain that sort of lingers. And sometimes I have people come to me and they say, well, you know, I broke my leg in a skiing accident a year ago. My leg's fine and it's healed, but now I've got this problem with my back and my neck. Mm-hmm. And it happened after I broke my leg. And so, you know, sometimes you adapt to a situation like a broken leg or some kind of accident or some kind of illness, and you don't necessarily adapt really well, and you build up problems for yourself later, and that we can help with.
Yeah, and in fact, it doesn't even have to be anything quite as dramatic as a skiing accident. In my own case, many, many years ago, I turned an ankle fairly severely, but not any. It wasn't horrible, but it was fairly uncomfortable for a few days. And years later, I realized, after this was long, long afterwards, I realized that I had kind of continued compensating for that long after the injury or had healed.
That's right.
It ended up causing me to alter the way I carried my whole torso a little bit. I mean, that was only an insight I only got from Alexander training. I doubt that I ever would have noticed it any other way. But we do tend to, I think, underestimate the implications of a change in what we might think of as a temporary change in how we move around because of, say, a broken leg or a sprained ankle. We tend to forget that that propagates throughout our whole body. Everything kind of has to figure out how to fit in with that. And it's not that hard to continue with those things long after the actual immediate situation has resolved itself.
That's so, absolutely yeah, right.
And the Alexander technique helps you to notice what you're doing and gives you some tools for changing that.
Absolutely, I would agree with that. And it's not just legs, because people listening might think, oh, I can understand that in relation to turning an ankle, like you say, and how that might throw you literally off balance. But the same thing can be true of a broken wrist, for example, or even a badly sprained wrist, can have that same effect, because for a while you maybe got it supported, you got it in a sling, and you're holding your shoulder differently and you're not moving that side of your chest properly, and then that's sort of going up, so you're not turning your head and neck freely. So you're right, these seemingly innocent and short-term problems can have long-term and quite significant consequences.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing, I have quite a lot of pupils who have fibromyalgia. Do you have that? Do you recognize that?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's what brought me pretty much into the technique. I have a mild form of it myself, which I've had, it's all my life as far as I know. And of course, not recognized for many, many, many years. And I couldn't sit through a cinema film, for example. I'd just be in pain just from sitting for a couple of hours that it takes for the film to go. Or walking upstairs, my thighs would burn, and these sorts of things. And it was the Alexander technique that really helped me to deal with that, to find management techniques that were not only helpful but actually improved the situation considerably. And I'm sure it's the Alexander technique that's fundamentally enabled me to live a very full life, you know, to have children and do what I want to do, and not be, as a lot of people can get, crippled by this condition.
So I think we need to make it clear that we're not proposing that the technique is a, quote, cure, unquote.
Not at all.
For something like that, MS or arthritis or any of the medical conditions that can cause the kind of pain you're talking about. But there is that whole question of how we manage ourselves within the framework of having that condition.
That's right.
And I think that's the kind of thing that gets overlooked a lot. And as you say, there are people who end up in wheelchairs or hardly mobile at all, who I wouldn't want to say all of them could be hopping around happily like us, but I think a lot of them could certainly be a lot more mobile and comfortable than they are now if they had that kind of Alexander training. So I think it might be really helpful, since we're talking about Alexander teaching and training, if maybe you could elaborate a little on just what it is that one would learn in an Alexander lesson that would help them to move more easily and sit more easily. Could you say a word or two about that?
I can. I think one of the things that happens in response to a chronic pain condition, even if that pain varies from day to day, and some days you just feel, oh, I'm not so bad today. Nevertheless, the response is that your muscles and your whole body suit tends to get fixed into a certain pattern. And that pattern is particularly you build up a lot of tension around your neck and shoulder area and your upper back. And a lot of people that have chronic pain do tend to be a little bit stooped. And in England, we sometimes call this a Dowager's hump. Do you?
Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And you see that pattern, and it is associated with chronic pain. People pull their bodies down without realizing it. The pain is causing them to shorten themselves. And part of that shortening creates a pressure in their respiratory system too. So they're sort of almost crushing their chests. The rib cage in particular becomes quite fixed. And what you can learn in the Alexander technique is how you start unraveling that pattern of tension and what it's doing to you. How your response to pain is something that you can learn to actually have a few choices about rather than just being the victim of. And that is something that can be so helpful and so freeing for people. And not only in my own life has it been useful, but I've taught many private pupils how to release their own inappropriate muscle patterns in response to their pain. And I've had over the years people come for training who would otherwise be probably on the scrap heap, to be quite honest, people who've had nasty accidents in their life or botched surgery, that's another one, which has left them with really difficult situations to cope with. And they found the Alexander technique is one of the things that's really helpful because it enables them to, first of all, identify the pattern, then to start unraveling the pattern, and to stop the pattern building up again. So there's different stages in how you can use it to help you manage your pain.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the kind of physical, it's a little misleading to say this, but the physical basis of what you can learn to do with the Alexander technique is what really distinguishes it from a lot of other processes that someone in pain might investigate, meditation techniques or various things like that, which may be very effective. But I think the Alexander technique is unique in that it kind of systematically addresses physical or excess physical tension, brings it to your attention, and shows you very practical, specific ways of releasing that.
Absolutely.
And I don't know of any other method that really does that.
No.
I mean, there are other methods that can be very helpful for a lot of things, and some of them may be very helpful for pain, but to actually give you the person with the pain a mechanism for releasing it on a physical level.
Yes.
I think that's what's kind of unique about our work.
And I think what's so good about it too is that a lot of people who have a chronic pain condition are told you need to be more mobile and you need to take exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And they may even be given a specific exercise or a series of specific exercises to do that are going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're not told, and where we really come in, is how you set about that. So, for example, if you've been told you need to do leg raises, let's just take that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do leg raises because you've got this stiffness in your hip as a result of whatever it is that you're dealing with. But they're not told the effect of raising a leg on their whole coordination.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever dreams of saying to them, well, when you raise your leg, first of all, pay attention to not gripping around your neck and head. Because if you grip around your neck and head, this exercise, this leg raising, is going to be harder work and actually more stressful on you than than if you actually pay attention to the effect on your whole body. So this is our golden brick, really. This is our uniqueness. We can help you do whatever it is you feel that you could do to help yourself so much more easily without doing more damage to yourself and actually giving you the full benefit of what you want to do.
Yeah, and that's really a manifestation of the general thing that the technique is good for, which is how do you do whatever you're doing, whether it's singing or walking or chopping vegetables, or in your example, leg raises, which may be, you may be told are a good thing to do because they don't want your muscles to atrophy, or they want to get a joint immobilized and so on. Those are all legitimate concerns for someone with chronic pain conditions.
That's right.
But what's left out, as you say, is the how part.
Exactly.
And in your example is particularly intriguing because the idea that you want to pay attention to what's going on in your neck and perhaps gently say no to neck tension is not likely to be a part of any demonstration to you on how to raise your leg.
No.
It's just not going to be there because why would we want to talk about your neck? You know, it would be the general, it's your leg we're working on.
Yeah, that's right.
And again, you know, it really goes back to F. Matthias Alexander, the guy who started this whole thing, who really, really understood what whole body meant, that anything that you do anywhere with any part of you is really an activity of your whole self.
That's absolutely right.
I mean, everyone talks about that now, you know, holistic approach and so on and so on. But he really had it down at a practical level, I think.
And so long ago.
Back in the...
Over
100 years ago. Almost prehistoric period.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I think that's what really gives the technique a kind of a special, as you say, gold. It's the golden brick for people who are in chronic pain and who want to do something about it. And I guess the other thing I'd like to add is people that I've dealt with over the years who have chronic pain conditions often have developed a kind of almost a fatalism and a sense of powerlessness around it. Everything that happens to them is, you know, they go to the doctor or they go to the PT or they go to someone and they're told to do this, they're told to do that, but they're not ever really told how they can change things internally.
That's right.
You know, they're given prescriptions of various kinds, do so many leg raises, take this tablet, have this number of appointments, so on. But nowhere does anyone say, and you know what, you might want to retrain your thinking about how you're moving, because that could have a huge impact. That just isn't part of the equation. And when people get that and have some experience with it, it really changes their whole persona in ways that are hard to define precisely, but certainly they often comment, well, now I actually have a tool I can use anytime to help myself.
That's right.
And I never had that before. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think there's something that will be of interest to you and people listening. And that is, you will recall in 2008, there was the big A-team trial looking into the effect of Alexander technique on low back pain.
Mm-hmm. And just to say what this is for our listeners, it's a British... The National Health Service in Britain sponsored an investigation into the effectiveness of the technique for helping people with back pain specifically. And it was a major study, large-scale study, and it was published in the British Medical Journal.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That trial ran out of Southampton University, and it was led by a professor who's a GP researcher, Professor Paul Little. Mm-hmm. And there's a follow-up trial happening now, and it's in the pilot phase. And the reason I mention it is, well, first of all, I'm the Alexander Technique consultant to that trial. Mm-hmm. But what we're looking at, and I think this is quite interesting to our discussion, is the relationship and the effectiveness of Alexander Technique lessons given to people before they're offered a series of physiotherapy supervised exercise classes.
Oh, interesting.
It is. And it's the same thing. It's low back pain. That's the kind of area that they're looking into, because I'm sure it's the same where you are, but over here it's the biggest reason people go to the doctor after mm-hmm. respiratory illnesses.
Yes, that's the same thing here.
It's the thing, yeah. And so what we're looking at in this pilot phase is people having, say, 10 lessons, and then taking that knowledge into these exercise classes that they're going to attend. And it's too early to say what the response is going to be, what the results are going to be. But the fact that it's actually happening, I think, is very, very interesting, because it addresses exactly what we've been talking about.
Right, because anyone that's had a few Alexander lessons, if they're given some PT instructions, are going to carry them out a lot, I would guess, a lot
differently
and more effectively.
Well, that's the hope.
Yeah. It is interesting. Great Britain seems to be the home of research studies. I think there's also one on neck and shoulder pain underway.
That's right, yeah. And another one on knees somewhere.
Oh, really? And I know the original back pain one, there's at least two or three follow-up studies on that one as well. So England's really at the cutting edge of pain and Alexander Technique research these days.
It certainly is.
Yeah. So I think this might be a good point to bring our conversation to a close. My guest has been Carolyn Nichols, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Brighton, England. She runs an Alexander Technique teacher training program there. We'll put a link to her website by the interview. If you live in the Brighton area, get hold of her if you're interested in taking lessons. We'll also put a link to a website where you can find teachers elsewhere in the world and more about the Alexander Technique. Carolyn, thanks so much for this.
Thank you, Robert. Nice to be with you.